Welcome back, listeners. While Korean context was on break, South Korea's macroeconomic environment faced serious uncertainties with the ongoing trade war with Japan and spillovers from the U.S.-China trade war. But South Korea has long known about the vulnerabilities created by its overdependence on trade with Japan and China. The Moon Jae-in administration's new southern policy is specifically an effort to diversify its trade relationship by looking to new partners in South and Southeast Asia. Key to this agenda towards South and Southeast Asia is strengthening South Korea's relationship with India. With a strategic partnership and a free trade agreement between the two countries, the foundations of the relationship are already strong. However, both countries face challenges. Can South Korean firms navigate the complexity of India, and what can stakeholders do to overcome these challenges? Our guests today explain what the future holds for Korea-India relations. With no further delay, from the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Yong Kwon, and this is Korean Context. Dr. An Jung-young is a distinguished professor at the Graduate School of International Studies at the Chung-Hwan University. Dr. Jagannath Panda is a research fellow and the center head of East Asia at the Institute of Defense Studies and Analyses. Dr. Panda, we've had Indian interest in East Asia increase in recent years with Prime Minister Modi coming into office with a vision of India's engagement with Northeast Asia. Could you tell us what exactly his Act East policy means and what does India hope to accomplish with this initiative in the region?
As you rightly mentioned, Northeast Asia has been one of the focus of India's engagement in the regions. When Prime Minister Modi started talking about Act East policy, it was a makeover from the previous look-east policy to turn into a more action-oriented outreach program in the region. Now, there are many elements to India's Act-East policy. But the three or four main components of the Act-East policy is that we do look at ASEAN as a key region to our outreach in East Asia. We look at the countries in ASEAN region. And the issues that lives with the ASEAN regions are one of the most important aspects of our Act-East policy. Third, we look at countries like who are there in Far East, for example, South Korea, North Korea, Japan, are integral part of India's Act-East policy. Above all these things, one of the principal features of Act-East policy is to take each one of these countries much more seriously. And therefore, you would have seen that when Prime Minister Modi came to power, he has actually upgraded the India-South Korea relationship to a special and strategic partnership. This has been one of the key features of India's Act-East policy. Also, the current government looks at how to cooperate with each and every country in the regions in multilateral institutions, in multilateral mechanisms. So therefore, one of the principal aspects of Act-East policy is to take the Republic of Korea much more seriously than earlier and how to cooperate it not only at the bilateral level, but also at the multilateral level and in a regional context. I think that has been one of the principal features of India's Act-East policy in the context of India and South Korea relations.
Dr. An, Dr. Panda mentioned ASEAN and cooperating with countries in ASEAN alongside countries in Northeast Asia. That seems to complement President Moon Jae-in's new southern policy that South Korea is pursuing right now. Has there been a reciprocal perception from South Korea that India is a partner in its policies for Southeast Asia?
South Korea has been one of the most trade-oriented economies in the whole world, and we are constantly looking for a new market and strengthening relationship with existing market, especially Korea's small and medium enterprises started to open their eyes, okay, which country are most attractive. We used to have very deep linkage with the ASEAN. Some of the ASEAN countries regarded a key member of what they call East Asian Miracle. So many Korean companies first get involved in projects and plant construction in Southeast Asia. But now later on, as Indian economies start to grow, and especially in recent years, India has been, you know, one of the most fastest growing large economy. And Korea is very highly motivated because of excessive dependence on China market. Roughly 28% of our total export go to China market. And we need to diversify, especially if you look at the U.S. And the China trade friction. If Chinese economy got down by 1%, the Korean economy will go down 0.1%, okay? So very deeply interrelated there.
Right.
As a result, we should look for some alternative market other than China. So in this regard, India is a great silver lining, you know, for right. Korea. On top of that, many Koreans believe that India and Korea does not suffer any historical legacies and territorial disputes. We share a very good credential of not having aggression to the third-party countries in the world. So in this regard, I think most popular democratic country and market economy, growing economy, and culturally rich. Therefore, you know, many Korean policymakers in general public see that India is our great, great natural partner.
Right, right. But it seems like there is a bit of a difference in view in the way India approaches South Korea and the way South Korea is approaching India. Based on what you're suggesting, Dr. An, it seems like South Korea is approaching India as a standalone partner, while India is approaching South Korea as kind of a partner in a bigger picture, in a collaboration in international organizations, in on the ASEAN community. Is this a friction that you see potentially causing challenges in the bilateral relationship? Dr. Panda, perhaps you could start.
If we try to understand from South Korea's point of view, they are caught up in the US-China dilemma. South Korea would like to maintain cordial relations with their alliance partner, US, whereas the economic partner, China. So there is no escape route for South Korea. As we know, it's a trading economy. So it would like to have good relations with two of the big economies of the world. But at the same time, the choices of South Korea is also opening up very first in the changing geopolitical order, particularly at a time when South Korea's relationship with Japan is really getting tensed and not going anywhere. And South Korea is really trying to maximize its commercial and strategic presence in the Asian regions. So India obviously emerged as a natural and also to some extent an alternative choice as a partner. So in that context, one can say that for South Korea, India is an alternative and a preferred alternative partner. On the part of India, I think from where India is really positioned and the way India is orchestrating its foreign policy, South Korea is definitely one of the key countries. But then in the context of East Asia, South Korea is emerging as one of the most important countries. Of course, India's relationship with Japan has really strengthened all this while. So in comparison to India-Japan relation, probably India-South Korea relation has not really taken off that far. But what we are today seeing is that one of the principal features of ASEAN policy is to look at country in the region in its own special term. And in that context, I think South Korea enjoys a great amount of confidence in Indian market, in Indian political establishments as a key country in the regions. And also, if we take into account the economic volume of South Korea and India, they are ranked quite highly in the world economic configuration. They are among the top 15 GDP ranked economy. So it makes sense for India to accord more importance, priority importance to South Korea in its foreign policy. It is definitely not an alternative choice for India, because I don't think India has played that kind of card in its foreign policy. But the way we see that Indian ASEAN policy and India's approach to the Indo-Pacific power configuration is emerging, South Korea is definitely emerging as one of the preferred destination for Indian businessmen, for political establishments, for a different kind of engagement in the regions, particularly in the East Asian regions. So therefore, we could say that South Korea is emerging as one of the most important countries in India's foreign policy formulation.
Dr. An, Dr. Panda specifically mentioned a commercial engagement between India and South Korea, and you mentioned a lot of Indian businessmen coming to South Korea. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's been a lot of Korean corporations also going to India. Two that comes to mind immediately is Samsung in Uttar Pradesh, and Hyundai in Chennai mm-hmm. have manufacturing presences. From your role in the Korea Commission for Corporate Partnership, I'm aware that you've had a lot of experience with Korean businesses going to India. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular success stories mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. any particular mm-hmm. case studies mm-hmm. that come to mind in terms of mm-hmm. Korean commercial engagement in mm-hmm. India?
Mm-hmm. Most successful story in terms of the business connection in India, I would say the Hyundai automotive plant in Chennai. They succeeded in manufacturing tailor-made type automobiles suitable for Indian consumers. And I think that the model is rated as most preferred by Indian consumers. And now Hyundai automotive export India-made Korean cars into, you know, Middle East and some African countries. I think that is the most successful story. And last year, Samsung made a huge investment to manufacture semiconductor. If that operation is on the full swing, that will make another great success story. Next, I want to see that the Korean companies may involve some huge SOC project connecting major modal cities in terms of the railways or whatever, you know, highways, something like that. Korea has very rich experience in Middle East, very sophisticated plant construction in Singapore and atomic power plant in UAE. They are in the world class. Maybe the Korea should be more aggressive in terms of getting on the India's huge SOC market and also smart city development. Very rich right. experience domestically.
Right, particularly with Korea's advancement in 5G and telecommunications, that seems to be a right area for collaboration. Dr. Panda, on the commercial side, is what Korea is doing right now within expectations of what India expects? Does India expect more from South Korea? Is this the right way of going about it? What is India's perspective on South Korea's commercial engagement to date?
Ideally, India would expect more from South Korea. We should not forget that Indian market base has been quite competitive. There are international players, actors who wants to really have a good share of Indian market. Japan has occupied a good space. Chinese presence is continuously rising. There are traditional actors like United States and European Union. So in that context, Korean companies, Korean stakeholders will face a competition. But what we need to keep it in mind, I think that is in the interest of the South Korean companies, that Korean companies are not new to the Indian market. They're actually the traditional actors and traditional players, be it automobile sector, be it the technologies. Korea is an accepted stakeholder in Indian domestic context. And there are really acceptable and good views from Indian people about the Korean companies, about the Korean products and Korean outputs. So Korea is not new to Indian context. What Korea needs to be doing to revisit some of their game plan in the current context, for example, to try to understand the new business environment in India. Of course, there are cases which has not gone in favor of Korea. For example, if we take into account the experience of POSCO. But the failure of POSCO in India was for a different reasons. POSCO could not really marketize itself in real rural Indian context. I belongs to the regions where POSCO actually launched its project, that is the state of Odisha. And I know for a fact that there are local issues which actually could not be handled properly either by POSCO or by the Indian establishment. So what we need to do is that we need to understand the business environment of India in its local condition, in its rural context. And I think if that the Korean companies can adapt to, it will be really a gateway for Korean companies in Indian market and in Indian society. As I mentioned, they are not new to Indian society, Indian market. In fact, they can be accepted much more than any other overseas companies. But the reality of the fact is that they have to understand how Indian societies are really functioning today, how to conduct the business, how to really proceed with the negotiation process, and how to also deal with the administrative difficulties. In a vast, populous, and administrative societies like India, there will be, you know, problems, there will be difficulties. And we know for a fact that India is a big country with a federal structure. even though we have central government, there are state government which will have its own view, and state government will have its own setup and mechanisms to deal with. So any foreign companies coming to India, they need to understand the complexities of the administrative difficulties of India. And I think in that context, there is a lot of expectations that if Korean companies and Korean enterprises, they want to come to India, they have to first get themselves familiarized with Indian working condition. I think it's not a difficult thing. There has to be some base, practical experience, a kind of modus operandi study before they launch the project. If that can be done, I don't really see why Korea cannot really be the successful enterprise when it comes to the competing stakes in Indian society and in Indian markets.
And if I may follow up, do you see institutional organizations moving towards what you suggested, learning more about the local environment? Is there progress in this area?
Yes, a good beginning has actually started. Today, we have a Korea Plus mechanisms with the Ministry of External Affairs. And I think Prime Minister Modi has been quite forthcoming and positive about Korean companies and business sectors coming to India. So there has been a good beginning. And today we have a lot of administrative and official level of dialogues happening between India and South Korea. So challenge here is that the beginning has been made. How to sustain all of this beginning and move it forward to the next level. If we say that today, actually, there are many areas where the business environment will be needing a backup from the other sectors. For example, if we can have more exchanges between universities, that will actually generate scholars and professors, academicians who understand each other's countries and society. That will actually bridge the gap of perception and understanding each other. Now, if we allow think tanks level a dialogue, that will actually provide us time-to-time blueprint, time-to-time analysis about what the two countries are thinking about each other and what the two establishments in two countries, governments and their stakeholders, they are thinking about each other. Similarly, if we could have interactions among the business sectors, bodies like FICCI, ASSOCHAM, CIA, in India, these bodies are really prime bodies. If they can have good understanding and dialogues with bodies like COTRA or CODAS, then, you know, it will be creating a business-friendly environment before any concrete business investment really happens within India. So I think we need such kind of dialogues from time to time, such kind of interactions among the two sites, think tank level at university level, among the bodies who are facilitating the business friendly environments in each other's country. If we can have more dialogue and understanding between these two sites, then that will actually create and push forward India's South Korea economic relation forward.
I see. And Dr. An, do you share in the view that some of the challenges in the bilateral engagement is the perhaps a difference in understanding of the local environment between Korea and India? And what has Korea been doing to bridge that gap?
Well, Dr. Panda mentioned the POSCO story, right? I think POSCO made mistake. They look at the investment opportunity very much from the top-down fashion. If central government says okay and provide all the green light, and then they thought all the investment process would go as scheduled. The reality is that the bottom-up approach was missing, and understanding the local people's attitude and issues involved when you try to purchase the farmland and so forth. So here, they haven't expected such antagonistic and or other additional, you know, demand to get the land appropriated by POSCO. From their own, the project was not able to go as scheduled. I think it is terribly important to understand the local working conditions and the business culture, and also the legal structure. That sort of things have to be studied very carefully in advance. Fortunately, there is a very good sign. In Korea, we have the Indian Chamber of Commerce in Korea. They conduct a regular meeting at least once a month, breakfast gathering, and a lot of the Korean potential investors and academics attend the session to hear about the what sort of these things going on in terms of economic updating and international project going in many parts of the India. So this is, I think, very good mechanism so that businessmen understand the Indian situation. I think that I would like to see that the regular you know, business delegation from both sides visit each other's country. For example, you know, South Korean businessmen make a very regular visit to the United States, and also, you know, U.S. business delegation representing, say, state of Virginia or state of the Montana. You know, I met many of the U.S. business delegations. So from now on, India and Korea, both sides carry the delegation to see what sort of potential projects are most feasible, and this will provide very good opportunity for each country to understand, especially the business environment, the practice, and the legal conditions, and etc.
That's it for the episode today. Many thanks to Dr. An Jung-young and Dr. Jagannath Panda, and to you listeners for tuning in. If you haven't already, please rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please tweet at us at KOREAECONINST. And don't forget to visit KEI on Facebook, YouTube, and at KEIA.org for videos, blog posts, and articles on all things related to Korea policy. See you next week.